Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
In her political column this week, Olivia O'Leary says, "We've come a long way."
The day Lord Louis Mountbatten was bombed to death by the IRA in August 1979 with his grandson Nicholas, with Lady Patricia Braeburn and young Paul Maxwell from Enniskillen, the IRA also killed 18 British soldiers at Warren Point. It was a terrible day. It felt like the whole of Ireland was bleeding. I went out to record the reaction from people on the street in Dublin. Almost everybody condemned the death of Lord Mountbatten, an old man who trusted that it was safe to come here on his holidays. But at least half the people I spoke to were indifferent to the death of the soldiers. "Those who live by the sword will die by the sword," they shrugged. That's how hard attitudes here were 34 years ago. It didn't help that most of the dead soldiers came from the Parachute Regiment, the regiment involved in shooting dead 13 innocent civilians in Derry on Bloody Sunday. But consider those attitudes here and the opposite but equally hard attitudes in Britain at the time, and you get some idea of how far we've come. Critics can sneer at former darlings of the left like Michael D. Higgins or Eamon Gilmore for looking comfortable dining at Windsor Castle or for waving from a carriage at the crowds. But the President's state visit was a duty performed for us to build good relations which will make our lives better and to pay respect to the head of state and institutions of people on this island who regard themselves as British. And that, to my mind, was a job well done. But the people to whom this visit mattered most were the Irish in Britain. For decades, they'd lived under the long shadow of injustice and violence in Northern Ireland and in the UK. The people whose remittances kept half of the west of Ireland afloat in the bad times were forgotten by the Irish government. Indeed, Irish community organisations complained that until the 90s, they were rarely, if ever, invited to receptions at the elegant Irish embassy in Grosvenor Square. But this visit brought them centre stage. The President called them the living heart in the evolving relationship between both countries. The Queen, acknowledging that they had sometimes been discriminated against in the past, said they had helped to make Britain a better place. And last week they celebrated. The President's Kallura concert in the Albert Hall was sold out in hours. The London Irish bought tickets for their mothers and their fathers and their brothers and their sisters and their aunts. And when the President arrived, they cheered until they were hoarse. When they sang Aron na Bhian, the sound was so tremendous that Fiona Shaw and myself ran out of our dressing room into the wings to watch. Yeah, how cool was that? I got to share a dressing room with the great Fiona Shaw. There were people out there who'd come to London in the 50s and the 80s. There were nuns and there were nurses. Did you know that Irish women used to make up 12% of NHS nurses in the 70s? I don't know what the number is now. But if you watched UK television series like Casualty, there was always an Irish nurse, whether she was Sarika Cusack or Brenda Fricker. The nurses were there at the concert, and also all the young ones who've gone to London in the last few years, IT types and financial types, all sorts, delighted to celebrate being Irish. Backstage, as well as the greats like Paul Brady and Donal Lunny and Andy Irvine, was Declan McManus, better known as Elvis Costello. His grandfather had been a trumpet player in the old Royal Irish Regiment. And only a few weeks ago, Costello's young son had brought a photograph of the uniformed grandfather into his school in New York as part of a family history project. So Costello couldn't believe it when, marching out onto stage to perform in the Minstrel Boy number, he saw trumpeters in the familiar red uniform of the Royal Irish Regiment. He felt, he said, as though something had come full circle. And something had. The Irish in Britain had at last been recognised. The party in our hotel tumbled out into the street and went on until 4 in the morning. And you know something? Nobody had the heart to complain.